Pick the parts of the story of your life where you're like, oh, this totally resonates with this topic that I want to share with my audience. And I feel like this would totally help at least one person feel much better. If you're comfortable with putting that out, then put that piece of content out. But you don't have to put all your traumas out there if you don't want
to. Like trauma dumping.
Yeah, you don't have to do that at all. Put out these pieces of stories, especially with storytelling. Put out what you feel you learned a lesson from and put that out there and see how that does, because most of the time you're not going to be alone and it's going to resonate really well with other people.
Always ask why. Why is this the way it is?
The whole goal is to rise the industry, to grow it.
Yeah, don't worry about giving us credit, guys. We're not here for that.
If it grows the industry, that's what makes me happy. Well,
when you first said it, I was going to hang up.
Yeah. It's not a race you want to win.
Yeah, you're going to lose because it'll be too cheap. You'll be working for like McDonald's money. Otto Mitter, onto our show from Alibana.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me on board.
Okay, we'll take 20.
I can't do math. I'm a beauty professional.
Yeah, thank you. Panning, I do teeth whitening. I'm like, okay, there's some point where you got to draw a line.
My biggest concern is longevity and making sure that you've got the best possible mechanical fit. If you're looking for a lash podcast that will challenge how you do lashes, build you up, and help you create a business that not only thrives, but allows you to live a life you're proud of, you've come to the right place.
This is LashCast, your friend in the lash industry. Coming to you from the City Roses, this is the broadcast by lash professionals and for lash professionals. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today we have a special treat for you. We are sharing a partnership that we are doing, and that was someone very, very cool that I'm sure most, if not all, of the world of lashing knows, because she's really one of the sweethearts of our industry, and that is Val, or Beauty Gal Val. You probably know her and have been following her account. It's been fun for us to partner with her or watch her over the years, and she was our MC this last year at LashCon, and we decided to go a little further. And so she's going to be coming on and helping manage our social media. Now, we're still going to be, if you've been following us, you'll notice that maybe we're on the page a little bit more. And that's really because she's like, okay, if you're going to work with me, you're going to have to be on the page and you're going to have to show up more and do more. And I'm like, you know what? We'll do it. Because we really saw this as a great opportunity because we have a lot of the same values, same kind of goals, same type of desires for the industry. So it just seemed like a real natural partnership to come together. It wasn't that we were dissatisfied or upset in any way with our team that we've been working with for the last few years. We love them. They're awesome. But sometimes new partnerships come up and new opportunities arise. And so we thought we'd jump into this one and give it a whirl. And so she's going to be with us for up to LashCon. So you may see her a little bit. I think the plan for most part is to be featuring us, which is kind of weird for us because we're not the ones that have been used to being featured on our own page. But you guys so far have been responding so well. We're like, okay, I guess they want more. So we'll do it. So please, if you're not checking our page, go look at Instagram. You'll see what we've been doing. And you can see a lot of the magic that Val's bringing in with her ideas and her creativity and fun that she's helping to take what she's been doing her own page. And now she's kind of inspiring us to do. So hopefully that's been useful for those of you who are big on Instagram. And if you're not, don't worry about it. Enjoy hopefully getting your value here right on our podcast. But before we get into that interview where you're going to learn and hear a little bit about Val and some of the things that she's doing and give some tips and all that stuff, let's first get to our announcements.
It's time for announcements.
All right, guys, LashCon tickets are up for sale. And here's the thing, guys. I want to encourage you, if you are looking to come, you need to buy them now. If you want to get the 6-month payment plan, yes, we have a 6-month payment plan. More than half of our ticket buyers go with the 6-month plan. That's the norm. So don't feel bad. It's okay. You know what? If you buy the main ticket, the standard ticket, I think it's $125 or $140 for the down payment, and then it's like $100 some bucks a month for 5 more months. So it's really, it's like doing one appointment, maybe 2 appointments a month, depending on how much you charge, hopefully more. And if not, you will, over a few next 5-6 months, you'll pay it all off and be ready for LashCon. And that way you don't have to go crazy and put on a credit card or anything like that. So please, if you're looking to go, this is your time to get it before we close that 6-month payment plan and shorten it, because we're going to shorten it down to either 4 or 5 months. So you're going to have to pay bigger chunks up front. So right now, in these next 2 weeks, this is your window. This is your opportunity. So go buy your tickets and we'll see you in October. We have 1 ticket left to Testing's retention course. That's this coming weekend on April 13th and 14th. So if you are in the Kansas City area, DM me. We're working out a deal. You don't have to pay the whole front up front. We want to sell this last ticket. So we'd rather sell it and we'll split up payments. We'll work it out. We'll find a way so that you can come see Tuscany's retention course. And we don't have anything planned until maybe summer at the earliest. It's because we've been doing these other projects. So if you want to learn how to get 4-week retention and really make your appointments and go longer, but so you get better. No, I'll just say it this way. You'll get much better retention because now you're wowing your clients with this better lash retention. They're going to tell their friends, guys, I don't have to go in as often, which is going to get you more clients and create a lot more stability for your business and obviously more revenue. Next, we're going to be in at PLA's offices for the business masterclass. That's going to be on May 6th through the 8th. It's $1,000. We'd love to see you there. And then next, we're going to be at the course on June 16th in New York City. We have Tuscany, Tress Larson, Michelle Wynn, and Allie Lilly. Amazing lineup. We'd love to see you there. But that's it. I was going to say more, but there's more. Like, we have our Vegas party, but too much stuff. We'll get to the Vegas party as we get closer to that. Maybe we'll talk about that starting in May. Can't wait to tell you about our Vegas party we're doing with Shelby from Last Boss Summit again. Very, very cool stuff. All right, guys, that's all I have for announcements. So now let's go sit down with Val and hear how we're going to be working with her and get some tips on how you can manage your social media.
Cookies, I am so excited to you because today is a special day. We actually have our guest in studio.
Woo!
I know you all know her. I think she is the lash sweetheart. The sweetheart of the lash industry, right? Welcome to the show, Valerie Na.
Hi.
Hey.
How's it going? It's so nice to be here.
We don't have too many guests in the house, by the way.
No, so you're very special.
I'm honored to be here in this studio.
Yes, in this beautifully not finished studio.
It's okay. It's all right.
Well, when my kids were little, they used to say Peshel instead of special. So you are a special guest.
Oh, I like to be special.
Special.
So we're excited because we're bringing Val on for many different reasons. One, because I think all of you probably follow her social media, and you know she is really a mover shaker, someone that I think we all love to see every day, especially when she greets us with, you know, flipping at some point. And this is a fun part of your daily routine, at least for me. I always enjoyed seeing her.
It's the daily dose spin.
Yeah, it is.
It's a flipping dose.
I always say happy flipping Monday or happy flipping Sunday, whatever day it is. We always say happy flipping Monday, whatever. It's my thing.
Yeah.
I feel like my community has really, really grown to like it. And a lot of people always message me and say, like, that is what I look forward to every day. So it's nice to hear you guys actually really like it.
It is. No, it's just such it's like for you, smart cookies has become your thing. So everyone comes up and goes, am I a smart cookie or something like that?
Smart cookie.
Yeah.
That's so cute. People say that. That's so cute.
I'm in Lash Queens all the time. You're a smart cookie.
Yeah. Aww. So it's really cool. But that said, we want to bring Val on to talk about social media, because I know for a lot of you out there, social media is just like really your biggest pain point. Usually when we ask at LashCon, we do surveys and we ask everyone, what's your biggest pain point? And then I've done email surveys. I've done all sorts of just when I talk to people and ask them, what's your biggest pain point? Often they'll say I'm slow. That's another, because that actually pays you money. But really, the thing that causes so much angst and stress and misery is social media. So many of you out there right now feel like I should be doing more. I should be doing this or that. And you're not doing it. So you feel bad for not doing it, or you're doing it and you feel stupid doing it, or you're doing it and not getting results. So now you feel even dumber. Like, well, I guess I'm really not smart cookie because I can't do it right. So all those things. So we thought we'd bring Val onto that. But also we're really excited because Val is going to be joining and working with us as our social media director.
Yeah. I am so excited. It's amazing to be able to work with you guys. So I'm really excited for our journey together.
Yeah. No, it's been fun. Today, we spent a couple hours shooting videos. And
We had props. We had music.
There was confetti.
There were balloons.
Balloons.
Mild excess.
Bongo drums with a cat.
It was a great time.
It was fun. And Val's come on to give us a little direction and probably a kick in the butt, to be honest, just to actually do more and contribute to our community, because we do have a community.
You guys contribute so well already, but you guys just needed to show up a little bit more differently. And I feel like now the audience really sees that shift. So they already love all of you. It's just adding that extra flair.
Damn.
I hope so, because honestly, this is something that's not good. I am not good at this.
Well, we don't wake up every day and they're like, I know, let's do this. That's just not what we think. But that's why we brought you on, because you're here to help. At one point, she was saying, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, you just tell us. You come up with a list of things and say, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. Be the boss. We'll work for you. And basically, act us like we're your props and do whatever you want with us. And one thing,
down for that. I mean, you just give me the assignment, you say, what's the theme? And I'm like, all on it.
I agree. You guys are very open to everything, which is amazing, because I feel like a lot of people struggle with just putting themselves kind of just doing it, because when they're doing it, they feel a little dumb. But you guys just go for it, which just makes it so fun.
We're totally okay looking dumb. Our dumbest moment ever was at Beauty Factor. 3 years ago, we talked to this conference.
Wait, okay. This is actually one of my favorite memories, although nobody else was laughing.
No one laughed.
For us.
No one.
Actually, I have two dumb moments.
Yeah, I have another one.
Okay. The first one was, we're talking and we decided in the middle of our talk to stop and reenact a scene from Rocky.
Rocky 3.
Rocky 3, the one with Mr. T.
Mr. T. Have you seen any Rockies?
I have seen some. I think the first, yeah.
Okay. Well, the first one's actually
exceptional.
That's
the fighting.
Yeah, the movie.
I know Rocky.
Well,
Mr.
T was like a zeitgeist, like when we were
back in the
80s.
Before we were kids.
Yeah. And we were like, oh my gosh, there wasn't anybody tougher than Mr. T. So like, a pity the fool, right? So we did this scene where, you want to do it right now?
No.
Just come on. I'll be Rocky, you be Mr. T.
What did I say? I forgot my line.
Pity the fool.
I just said, pity the fool.
And I said, go for it.
Okay, so we stopped. We're talking. We're doing this talk and presentation. Go. And now we're going to take a short break, do a scene from Rocky 3. And I turn to Tuss and I go, I pity the fool.
Go for it.
Yeah, and that was it. And then we went back to our talk.
But nobody got it. I think one guy came up to us and said, that was so funny.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was very obscure.
And then the other moment.
My other dumb one was at London Lash, where we told a bunch of British jokes, and it turns out no one at London Lash was from Britain.
Really?
They're all from Europe.
What?
They're all from, like
Denmark and
France and Germany and all these other countries. I think there were, like, 10 people in the room that were from the U.K. Everyone else from Ireland and all that. So we made some British jokes.
Lithuania,
yes. Yeah, and Estonia. I was doing these jokes that were, I thought
were like,
funny.
Yeah, hey, we came and we fought a Revolutionary War, and we've got these commemorative coins from 1776.
When we kicked your ass. And then everyone's looking at me like, I'm not from this country. What are you talking about? Yeah, there's this moments where we think we're being funny and we're not. So,
but you got to try. Yeah. You got to throw it out there.
As long as you think you're funny and you're having the best
time.
We're that's all
fun.
That matters.
We had fun.
That's
we
fine. You
absolutely
had fun. That's all
fun,
that matters.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah. We do at least entertain ourselves. So let's get into social media, because I think that's something that everyone does look to you and it seems so natural, so easy. And so to start with, and you actually shared a little bit earlier, but I think it was one thing you did say was interesting about this. When you first got into it, was it easy? You just started doing it? Was it natural?
Yeah. So social media has always come super, super natural to me since I was young. Me and my sister would sit in our rooms and make videos on her Disney laptop. And it was just fun to me. And so when I started making videos on Instagram, it was because it was fun. The only thing that really bothered me was what the people who I grew up with or people who knew me personally would think about it, about me. And then I got a little bit older and I realized, like, there is so much opportunity in just being who you are and getting on camera and just going for it. And so I honestly just stopped caring. And then honestly, the more that you do it, the easier and more natural that it becomes to you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's like anything. When you first learned lashing, right? It was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you got into it, it began to make sense. I'm guessing right now you have your own little suite. So you're learning how to be a boss, right? Or how to run a little business.
Yeah.
And it gets easier as you get into it. But when you first do it, it's like, oh my gosh,
it's always overwhelming in the beginning, and it's because it's new to you and it's scary. But there's a really cool quote, I think, like Will Smith, right, had said that, like, God puts everything that is so beautiful and so amazing on the other side of your fear. And so just going over and just pushing through, like, that fear and then pushing through, like, your own, like, self-doubt, once you're over that, you'll just be like, what was I even worried about? And you gain so much from just doing it anyway.
I love that. That's a great way to look at it, because I actually believe that's so true. It's like everything you want to do. Like, even for us starting LashCon, we were just closing our business at
that
point.
Can you imagine?
Point. Yeah.
You know?
Well, we were
crazy.
scared.
You do it anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
You do it anyways. We like to say action brings clarity. So you figure it out as you go. But at the same time, we felt like fakers because we had just closed our business in that May. I don't know if you heard our story. But we closed a salon and then we turn around and start a business conference.
We had to keep coaching ourselves. We're like, we had 13 years of running an award-winning salon. We did know what we were doing.
We know a few things,
but it was just a little bit of the shame of like...
We made some awesome mistakes along the way.
And that's okay. I feel like that's valuable to the people who look up to you, is that they look up to you and they might think that everything is perfect, but it's not.
Yeah.
And that makes somebody feel a lot better, that they don't have to know everything or get it right from the beginning.
Have it all worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I wanted to share something with you. This is a quote from a writer. His name is Ira Glass, and he's a writer, right? But it very well pertains to a lash artist.
To create, being creative.
Being creative, yeah. Right? Okay, so he says, nobody tells this to people who are beginners. I wish someone had told me. All of us who do creative work, we get into it because we have good taste, but there is this gap, right? Yeah. For the first couple of years, you make stuff and it's just not that good. It's trying to be good. It has potential, but it's not. But your taste, the thing that got you into the game, is still killer. And your taste is why your work still disappoints you. A lot of people never get past this phase. They quit. Most people I know who do interesting creative work went through years of this. We know our work doesn't have this special thing that we want it to have. And we all go through this. And if you are just starting out, or if you are just still in this phase, you got to know that it's normal. And the most important thing you can do is do a lot of work. Put yourself on a deadline so that every week you will finish one story. It's only going to be as good. It's only by going through a volume of work that you will close that gap, and your work will be as good as your ambitions. And he says, I took longer to figure this out than most people, and it's going to take a while. It's normal to take a while. You've just got to fight your way through. And when you were saying that you went through this phase when you were worried about what other people thought of you,
yeah,
and then you decided, oh, I'm not going to, can you go back with us and tell us a little bit of that, reveal a little
process,
bit of that
yeah.
part? Like, because I think that's where we all identify.
Yeah. Well, I was incredibly bullied growing up, and I think that really hardened me in a good way, not in a bad way. And so when I started making these videos, I knew that the girls who had bullied me were watching. I knew that. And I actually told my sister all the time, like, I just don't think I should do this anymore. I don't think I need, I don't know. And she'd always be like, Val, like, you are just going to get better from here. Like, yeah. That's it. And so I was just getting a grip on myself and realizing that it didn't really matter what they thought. It was what made me happy. And if making videos made me happy and helping my community and connecting with more people, then so be it. And so it was just that moment of being, it doesn't really matter what you kind of coaching yourself and telling yourself in your head that if you want to do it, do it. So
I love that. And in that moment, like you're coaching that like inner child, that yeah. inner girl, you know, this is okay because we've all had that moment where yeah. you're like looking at somebody else's Instagram post, mm-hmm. somebody
oh,
that
yeah.
was not
oh,
nice yeah. to you, somebody that treated you badly, yeah. that thought they were better than you, put you in your place, and you're looking at them and you're seeing all their curated stuff and you're like, oh my gosh, my life sucks, right? If I put myself on there, they're just going to laugh at me, right? And you're like,
no. And then really, truly, as I started doing it, I realized that a lot of that was probably just in my head. Most of the time, I don't think that people who are doing the same thing as me or really anybody is really, really paying that much attention to me. And so when I just started thinking like to myself, I'm actually really not. So let me just do what I'm going to do anyway. And so that kind of took away the fear of just doing it anyway.
That's yeah. very freeing, because I know that when we were younger, our kids went through this stage mm-hmm. and we did something and the kids are like, mom, dad, they're looking at us. I'm like,
that's
no
so
one cares.
They
no
literally
one
don't
cares.
Care. No, they don't care.
People are focused on themselves and their own life. They aren't looking around and looking at you and all that.
Oh, let me tell you. Did we share this one already?
Yeah, we've shared it
we
once.
We shared it. Okay.
It's okay. You want to share just real quickly?
We went to Live Bay and we got our lashes done. This was just during the pandemic.
You got your lashes done.
I got my
I
lashes
did not.
Done.
Paul definitely got mega
yes.
volley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
the problem was that there was no Uber drivers, and we were walking for a long time.
We had to walk from to the, I forget where, but
anyway,
it was a long walk.
Our daughter was so mad at us.
It was like 9,500 degrees, something like that.
And I'm like, what's wrong with you? And she's like, everyone is laughing at us. I said, who is laughing at us? She's like, everybody driving by.
They see us walking in the street and they're laughing at us.
I'm and like, I said, what are they laughing? She's like, because they know that we shouldn't be walking. They're laughing because we didn't plan ahead. She's like, sweetheart, nobody cares. She's like, I know they're laughing. So she felt, you
yeah.
know what I mean? She felt stupid.
We all feel that way especially when you're trying something new, you're embarrassed, you're feeling self-conscious about your ability. So that's normal. But for you, well, I can't believe that you're bullied. You're like the most adorable person on the planet. I don't know how anyone
you.
Would like not
oh, yeah.
find you.
Everybody
I guess,
is right.
But you know,
yeah.
there's this really cool story that I, well, the it wasn't a story. It was more of like an example about how life is a race. And the race you start when you're born, and the end, by the way, is death, is
yeah.
we die, right? It's not to get dark or anything.
Yeah.
But there is the runners in the very front. front who are like running and they are just going sprinting. At it, sprinting, and then the people in the middle and then people who are walking. It doesn't really matter where you're at. But you, when you're running, are only looking at the people ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And so you see them and you see, wow, they're going so much faster than me and they have everything together and they are just where I want to be. But you're never looking behind you. But the people behind you are looking at you as, I want to be there. I want to be her. Like, she has what I have. So live life in whatever, like, great. Yeah. Whatever you want to be in your race. Like, don't look behind you. Just look forward.
There's no one running in front of me, so I have no one to convert myself
to. Have Paul's confidence. 10 out of 10. Yes.
Well,
he's giving confidence.
Yeah, that's right.
He's giving confidence.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right now, I have extra spill over into you guys. Yeah.
We need it.
In Christian circles, there's a Bible verse that says, run the race. The race is a metaphor for living out your faith. And there's also another one that says, live for an audience of one. Because for those who aren't faith-based, they could say, oh, you live for what's important to you. For those of us who are Christians, or that we're living for what God thinks of us. So it's like when we live for an audience of one, or we're not focused on anybody else, we are better able to make decisions for ourselves.
Yeah, you don't have to worry. For me, at least for us, yeah, it's always been living for Christ, living for God, saying what I do is for him, and I don't have to worry about the audience. Of course, when your head's not right, you do worry about the other people. And then you have to remind yourself.
That's human.
And then you go, okay, what's my life really about? Why am I here?
Finding your why.
Yeah. And then once you get that centered again, it's like, okay, all that noise, all those fears fade away. Yeah. So,
do you know what your why is?
My why?
Yeah,
oh gosh, you'll make me cry. My why is my sisters. And I've said this many times, is that my parents did the best that they could. And I appreciate that my mother did the best that she could. But my sisters, I am the oldest, and the oldest of three in a Mexican household is a very big responsibility. And so I have felt a lot of pressure to be the person where my sisters can look up to me and be like, my sister is a badass. My sister provides for us when she, like she does. And she, if I need something for my sister, she can give it to me. Just to be
to
an
serve.
Example. Yeah, and to serve them and to show them that anything that you want to do, you can absolutely accomplish with hard work, with God in your life, and just by having faith in yourself and in God. And so they are my why.
That's really cool. I'm totally intrigued, to be honest. Like, okay, because I've never heard that before, really. Like, you hear maybe they're like, we would say our kids or something like that, but for someone to be for their siblings, for your, you have two sisters?
Yeah, I have two younger sisters. I have Allison and Andrea.
Andrea's the baby.
She is 19. And right, 19, and she is wanting to be a pediatrician. She is in pre-med right now, and then Allison is a dental hygienist.
Oh, wow.
They're my why, for sure. That's we grew up, like, not to get sappy or anything, but we didn't have Christmas trees, and not because my mom didn't want to. She had her own things, like, but we didn't have Christmas trees. We didn't do traditions, and we didn't do all of these things that you normally see as a child, see your other family members, student friends and family have. And so for them, like, my Lash career was the first time that I take them on yearly trips. We love to hike, so we go everywhere to go hiking. And I've taken them to many different places, taken them like just to experience many different things. But really, truly, it's because I just want to show them that you can do anything. Yeah.
So when you grew up, you didn't have some of the things that you saw the world engaging in, and you thought, those are some things that I want.
Yeah, it's so important to me now. Like, our tradition is, every Thanksgiving, while everybody else cooks Thanksgiving dinner, me and my sisters put up the entire Christmas tree. We go shopping like the week before, and I have a new Christmas tree theme every year. And so they look forward to going and buying all of the different things and just putting the Christmas tree and the decor up. And so that's our thing. And so I have videos of them from like 7 years ago now. And just those things.
That's great.
It's so rich because you get to design what you want to pour into your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, how you want to bless them. That came out of a sense of loss, but you are pouring in absolute love and memories.
Yeah, you always create again. You always start over.
We can always start. Yeah, it's okay.
You're not stuck with whatever happened in the past. Doesn't have to define you. You can just say, I want new traditions.
You can do two things with the way that you grew up, or not even the grew up, or just the traumas that you've been through or things that make you who you are. I've always said, like, I would have never changed what I've gone through because it's made me who I am. And you have two choices to do with that. It's, you can use it as an excuse and just be sad and just be depressed or whatever, or you can use it as your motivation. And for me, it was very much motivation. Like, I'm going to change change it. We're going to break these generational things and we're going to become a better, healthier version of us.
That's awesome.
I love that. I had a similar,
yeah.
A lot of things.
Fair family's vibe.
You should sit down and I'll tell you some funny stories. But I realized once I got married and once I had a child, the things that were normal and natural to me that I grew up with were not things that I wanted to replicate. And I was like, whoa, that's weird. Like, but it took me to get out of that, to recognize it. And so for me, our first little one was like really depressed at first because I'm like, what model do I pick? Like, who do I follow?
Who do I follow? Who do I emulate?
And I found people. But the cool thing about it, just like you, is that I was able to say, I get the chance to do something different. And I can break those generational things.
And our kids are probably saying that about us right now. No, that's the thing. I know I saw a post the other day. It was actually cute. It was someone looking at a mom and says, this is the first time they're living their life too.
Oh,
looking
yes.
Looking at a mom.
Very and much
like,
so. Yes.
So it's like it changed. I was like, oh my gosh, you're right.
Wait a minute. The kid is looking at the mom?
No, there was a person shooting a video of a mom and says, remember, this is the first time she's ever lived her life too. Because we sometimes look at parents and adults or grown-ups, older people, like, they should have known better.
Also her first time here.
Yeah. It's all first time, right? There's no playbook that tells you exactly how to handle every situation. That's why you should be humble and
grace.
And have grace
don't
for
people.
Don't
we all want to live in a world of grace?
Yes.
We need to be the ones that are giving grace.
Give
grace.
Out.
Smashing
grace.
Out the grace.
Yeah, because, exactly.
The gift of mercy.
Yeah.
The gift of mercy.
Anyway, back to social media, something less interesting at this point. But that said, I would like to find out for you, or at least our listeners, because hopefully we can ease that burden. Because I know a lot of them out there, I think it's one or two things. Either they really want to and they just can't, and they can't figure it out, or they don't want to. And for those who don't want to, that's okay. I always tell people, like in our clubhouse, like, you don't have to do social media if you want to be successful.
There are many successful people who don't have a huge following or who don't even really have any.
Most of our former staff, almost all of them have almost no social media, and they are all fully booked and busy. Mm-hmm. And no one would, they probably didn't know what brands are out there. Yeah. They don't care. They found their little niche and they're doing fine. Michelle told me the other day from PLA, she went back and looked at all her former staff. She had like 30, 40 lash artists working for her. Almost none of them have social media, yet she knows they're all fully booked right now.
They don't need to.
So there are a lot of people out there killing it without, but there are those out there who really do. They really they love the idea. Like, man, I just need a little help. Like,
yeah.
So maybe you could give us a few things, or maybe as you start working with us, like, okay, what can I do to help these two people actually get an act together? Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of skin.
All the things are going to do different.
No.
But you started really thinking, looking at us and going, okay, let me give you some ideas. So if you were working with someone else, let's say they were going, well, Val, please help me with my social media. What are a few things you'd say? I'm going to give you little tips to this.
So number one, obviously know your why. And the reason I say that is because your why is going to be the reason why your community connects to who you are and your story. And it's going to be able to easily help you find your tribe. And then understanding who you want to be. And this question really tormented me for a while because I was like, who the heck do I want to be? Like, what do I want to be known for? And that question was really hard. But then I started to realize that I'm known for doing lashes and for being myself. And there is so much power in just being who you are. So finding out, I want to be known as a wispy lash specialist. Okay, if that's what you want to do, then everything that is going to correlate in your content to make it easy for you, just do entertainment. And then you're going to do
education
yeah. as well as inspirational.
Yeah.
And those are just three basic pillars. But if you are just starting, it's very easy to start there. And then once you get into it more, you're going to start to have subtopics such as how do I lash and how do I do this and how do I do X?
Yeah.
But just start with something more simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Also, make content when you feel it. I know a lot of people like to say, oh, you should have a curated content schedule. Yes and no. I agree, but your audience definitely can see and feel when you're doing something genuinely or because you're just doing it because. So definitely pick the pieces of content that you resonate with and you feel really good with putting out.
I think you're right. I think there's a lot of people like, it's like working out. You just have to always work out every day. And some people... it doesn't connect. They don't feel it. And then it's like the half-assed it, right?
Yeah.
Just really put nothing into it.
There was no mind-to-body connection.
Yeah. And I've always heard this, that I've heard both two arguments. You know, I mean, one side, they say just create content, consistency is how you grow it. And then there's others that say, no, actually, it's better to just create really good content. if it's less often. Like, and I think for a lot of people, because they're always worried about the algorithm.
Right. And don't worry about that. Except, little secret, don't post on Fridays.
Yeah, don't post on Fridays.
Don't do that. Yeah. And I've never told anybody that, but don't do that.
Don't post on Fridays.
I'm not going to tell you why, but I'm going to keep that to myself.
Okay,
but,
okay. That's fine.
But yeah, I think the idea is worrying about those things. That's almost like excuses not to do stuff because, oh, I'm always worried about this and that. Just, like you said, be yourself and wait till time comes. And if right now in the beginning means you post once or twice a week,
that's okay.
It's better than not.
Mm-hmm. Put out very high quality content on top of that. But also remember, your whole life is content. Everything is content. People are so nosy in the best way. They want to know what you're doing and they're very interested in you. So just like record everything. If you feel it in that moment, oh my gosh, let me record myself getting my Starbucks. Okay, cool.
Okay, so I have a question about this and that being vulnerable part. And I love how people are transparent, a lot more people, because a lot of people do want to know stuff like, what are your beauty secrets? I'll tell you all mine. But sometimes I feel a little scared, like, should I be sharing this? Is this too much? Is this too much information? Are people going to get roast out?
It's like your pirate teeth.
Yeah, my pirate teeth. I was like, yeah. Should I share that?
So with being vulnerable on social media, it is up to you how much you want to share. You don't have to share everything about yourself. I don't think I've ever shared that story of my life to anyone besides now. And so whatever you're comfortable with putting out there, then put out there, but also pick the parts. Don't just put everything out there if you don't want to. So pick the parts of the story of your life where you're like, oh, this totally resonates with this topic that I want to share with my audience. And I feel like this would totally help at least one person feel much better. If you're comfortable with putting that out, then put that piece of content out. But you don't have to put all your traumas out there if you don't want
to. Like trauma dumping.
Yeah, you don't have to do that at all. Put out these pieces of stories, especially with storytelling. Put out what you feel you learned a lesson from and put that out there and see how that does. Because most of the time, you're not going to be alone and it's going to resonate really well with other people.
I love that. Sometimes people feel like, I don't want to put my full face of makeup on. I don't want to go get my hair blown out. I just want to sit here on the couch and my Snuggie.
Yes.
Do you just get off the couch and give yourself a full makeover or what?
Yes and no. So this is why you're going to create two kinds of content, faceless and then yours. So at least once a week, if you can, you are going to have to get ready. But if makeup is not your thing, or if that's not who you are,
it's not my thing.
Yeah. Paul, like, it's not Paul's thing.
No.
So like his hair that he took off, it wasn't his thing.
Yeah, it wasn't my thing.
So
yeah.
Do the thing. No, I know Tess loved that hair right now.
She did. She petted it every night.
It's next to the
bed. It's actually next to our bed right now.
Oh my God.
I literally looked at the bed and go, wait, is that my hair? She goes, yeah, it's just sitting right next to the bed.
That is so funny.
I wasn't petting it. I just happened to move it there this morning.
So yeah.
I forgot what we were saying. I don't know what I said.
But get makeup, get ready. Oh, and all makeup.
Yeah, but if you don't want to do it, don't do it. But I will say that if you take the moment to just put on 5 minutes of like, put on, even if you just did a change of clothes, it just changes your confidence for that moment. But if you are not a person who totally wants to be on camera, maybe doing other things in your business, especially with lashing, definitely do more of like maybe your client experience, and you don't have to be on the screen. It's just going to be more of your clients or showing like your room or showing your work or showing your workspace, all of those things. You don't have to be in it, and you can voice it over and just be talking in your pajamas. You could do that, but it's going to require you to show up on your social media because your audience wants to connect with the person who is behind the camera. They want to know who you are. And that is how you build community. And community is way better than fast growth. Because if you have really good community, it doesn't matter what you put out, it's going to do great.
It's going to be deeper, right? Like I know because of our podcast, while we don't have, you see the on Instagram, you'll see, we have 27,000, whatever it is. But the engagement's not super high. It's very.
Like, you guys are getting better though.
It's getting better. It's moving in the right direction.
And that's because of me. Yeah.
It is. It is all you.
But it is moving in the right direction, which we're happy about. But at the same time, our podcast actually is where we get deepest with our family. When I was at LashCon last year, we figured we actually did a poll. 70% of the people at LashCon listen to our podcast.
That's amazing.
There are 1,300 people there.
That's amazing.
That's like our tribe.
It's like
that's
almost 800, 900 people in that room are podcast listeners. And it's because you guys right now currently listening are our family. And you, because of that, you come, you're part of LashCon, which is really amazing.
So that's
really,
community.
Yeah, it's our community. We have a real community there. Because, you know, podcast listeners, I think, are even more loyal than Instagram. Like Instagram, you're just flipping through. Podcasts, you have to go out, listen and sit down, play it, and most of them probably are lashing while they hear us. So it's a little more work to get there than someone with that. But that said, we'd love to get back and be more engaged also in our community on Instagram, because I think it's another whole family out there.
I think doing more of your podcast, which we've talked about, we listen to a lot of it, and get them into listening to the Lashcast podcast, because it's amazing. And people are very visual nowadays.
Yeah, we got to get video. We have 4 cameras.
Don't you up, right? Have a whole backdrop situation.
Yeah, it's going to be nice, and we'll be much more visual at that point.
Yes.
By the way, just one thing that I love this quote. I saw this from Karen Chang. She's a social media person, and she said this because she has a talk where she talks about being a social media addict. And so she changed her perspective because she actually creates really cool stuff on Instagram. But she said she decided to change her focus from being, she says this, seek respect, not attention.
Ooh,
nice. And when I heard that, I was like, because I think most of us are trying to seek attention, right? If you follow Gary Vee, it's all about attention. But if you can get so caught up in that and so lost in the attention that you'll do anything, right?
Yeah.
And you'll lose your soul
And you'll lose
likes.
Your soul for likes, where that's where you see people do stuff. You're like, oh, that's cringe, right? Why are we doing that? But instead, if you're trying to do things that are respectful, that grow, and also respect others, respect your audience, it goes both ways. I think it changes your way of approach producing content.
I agree.
So meanwhile, I'm going to go out and I'm going to put like some monkey ears on and get in front of the camera and try to get some attention.
I think that quote goes really well with like, there was this other one. Well, I don't know if it's a quote or not, but somebody said, when you're putting content out there, don't worry about it going viral everywhere else. Make it go viral in your niche. If it goes viral in your niche, then at that point you are respected for the education that you're putting out, for the added knowledge that you're putting out. That will grow your community and your tribe, because, well, don't get me canceled, but sometimes when somebody puts something out and it, all of a sudden they go from 0 followers to 100,000 followers overnight, what we don't realize is that a lot of that viral came from not in their niche. And it's because of the attention that video brought. That sometimes doesn't work in your favor, because sometimes when you see these people try to sell a course or try to do these other things, it doesn't go really well for them because that audience isn't in their niche. It's just because they are liking what they saw and what they thought was entertaining. And so make content that is going to create respect, and it's also going to go viral in your niche.
Yeah. In your tribe.
And that's knowing who your audience is. Again, who you are, but then secondly, who are you really trying to reach? And I think I look at Lash artists and I think a lot of times I'm confused. I watch because I'm like, you're making content for Lash artists, but you're not selling.
Oh, goodness.
You're not selling books or ebooks. You're not selling trainings. You're literally trying to get people to book appointments. And meanwhile, you're either like bashing clients, complaining, bitching, or making fun of people. And just like, I'm like, oh my gosh.
I've talked about this with many people, is that when we're creating content as lash artists, there's sometimes a disconnect. And our disconnect is that we make content for other lash artists and not our goal. Our goal as a lash artist starting out is to have a full clientele, full books, and to get attention to your salon or whatever that is. So your content has to be very different than the content that you see lash influencers put out. They have something to give. If you just have really nothing to give, then the audience is left unserved at the same time. And so make sure that your content that you put out is going to be very curated to your, if you're building clientele, you would have to curate content that is curated for clientele.
Yeah. Even if you get more likes, let's say you do a lash thing.
Yeah.
You get lots of likes, but none of those people are booking with you because they're lash artists.
They're
right?
lash artists. Yeah. And then it gets really difficult when you have all these lash artists who are nowhere near you and you're putting out, oh, available appointments, but none of them are near you and they're not going to become your, they're clients. Not going to become your clients.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't get the two confused if that's not your goal. But if your goal is to grow and to serve the lash community, then that's very different.
Yeah. That's what we pivoted. We used to be focused. Well, Instagram, like 10 years ago, it was all about trying to do things that would attract locals. It was all our stuff was about. We were showing our appointments. We were showing last sets.
I feel
all
like
the time.
Us hashtags were a lot more useful.
Oh, they were.
Yeah, and geolocation and all that.
Yeah.
Really. And so we would get a little bit, not a lot of traction from that. But then we totally shift in 2018 when we started our podcast. Said, well, I guess we need to serve the last artist. So we actually started a our own Instagram just for lash artists. And that was
nice.
And
that's what your audience is.
Most of my clientele is actually not even on Instagram. Mm-hmm. They may be on Facebook, but they are not on Instagram.
Yeah, her audience is like, or her clients are 50 to like 80.
Those are the best ones.
And let me tell you, because they are the wealthiest ones and they have money to burn.
They don't want to keep bouncing around.
No.
And and they're all like millionaires, by the way.
Oh,
they're
no,
all-
they are. And they show up for their appointments. They respect your time. If they don't show up, they pay for it. I mean, they're just amazing. Yeah. Those are the ones that I want all of you guys listening to start attracting. Many of you guys
I feel like a lot of now, not to pivot over from social media, but a lot of the way that people are gaining their clientele now is by going back to the old school way of attracting clientele, because they're realizing that social media is a lot harder. And so like actually showing up and like going into these different places and leaving your card and like introducing who you are and making all of these really great experiences for your current clients, so that way they can refer you over, is what a lot of clients are doing, or a lot of students that I hear now are doing.
Yeah. It's always worked, the word of mouth advertising. Yeah.
Well, you think about, like, did we not get clients before Instagram? Like, no, there were no clients. Offices empty. And then Instagram showed up and we got busy. No.
One of the best ways to do it is just simply ask. And you do this when you've given the client the mirror and they're looking in the mirror and they're happy. And you say, I'd really appreciate any referrals. Do you have anybody that you know that would be happy with my services?
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then you give them something so they can go to that client and like a card or a brochure, or a gift card, something that they can give to that client.
Hand this out. I'd appreciate you get this, you know, in exchange.
I love what you said, but the younger people are, this is where they're learning this, going back to old school. Because when we started Clubhouse, the very first topic was about customer experience. I said, your number one way that you're going to actually attract more people to you is not by having a really sexy Instagram or doing all that stuff. It's actually creating such an experience that every person that comes in your place tells their friends about it. So when they're talking over coffee or tea or drinks or whatever, and they're like, so what's your place like? And they go, oh, I just go in, she's nice, I get my lashes. And like, and they're like, oh, okay, that sounds like a typical lash artist. And then they go, what about you? And they go, well, stop. You know what? Let me tell you what they do when I walk in. You'll blow your mind. I've never been anywhere like this. Now you're going to attract people because they're going to like, my girl doesn't do that. My girl just literally shows some sweats and is late. And I always have to wait for her outside. And she texts me when she gets into her place and they're with my car. You can come in now. And they're like just really very average or not below average service. And so when you go above that.
That's because people don't remember what you did for them, but they remember how you made them feel.
Yes.
So if you can make somebody feel really good and do that whole experience from the very beginning, they're not going to leave you. They're not going to go anywhere because you have made them feel like they are the only client you have.
Yeah.
And creating that experience is like so worthwhile.
I'm just going to piggyback on that and just give people an encouragement to take foreign fills.
Yes.
The reason why.
I used to not. But
I know. Well, right. There was time that I didn't want to either because it was just too
so much work.
Yeah, so much work. God, but listen, every foreign fill that you do and you nail is an opportunity for you to show them. You're actually showing them you're one-upping the last lash artist that they saw, because you're like, I'm saying to myself, I could do it better. I can do better. Yeah, it's going to make me have to sweat and work really hard, but it also refines those problem-solving skills. It's the best workout that we can give ourselves as lash artists. So I encourage you guys, take the foreign fills, because it is going the extra mile. And is learning how to deliver something.
It's also setting the expectation for that new client, like setting that bar so high that they're not like, oh, now I literally can't go anywhere.
There's no question.
Why wasn't I here before?
When when Groupon, back in the day, when it first started in 2008, 2009, it was during the Great Recession. And we did Groupon in the early days, and people always said, oh, don't Groupon, you just get crappy clients. And I said, yeah, that's because you treat people like crap. So they become crappy clients and they leave. We actually kept about 60% of our Groupon clients became regular clients because we blew them away.
Wow.
I rolled out the red carpet and treated them like royalty. I was on Lash Forum, Lash Queens, and somebody had written in like, oh, I took this foreign fill and I didn't want to do it. And the person came in with a weird vibe. And she asked me, why are you charging me an extra $10? And I said, it's because it's a foreign fill. And she texted me the very next day saying, oh, my lashes are falling out. And the person was saying, I'm really at the end of my rope. I hate foreign fills. And I was like, listen, when you take the foreign fills, you take responsibility for the poor work. You have to remove those, because if you do not blow her away, she's going to be like, why would I ever go back?
Exactly.
And I had to pay extra for that? Why? So put yourself in their shoes. You have to be completely blown away. And I know that everybody listening is a good enough lash artist that they can do that. It's just about, yeah, and you can do that. So don't roll out the red carpet, blow them away, treat them like royalty. If it was like Beyonce or Ariana, you'd be like, I'm going to work my fingers to the nubs, you know, in order to blow this girl away. Or Kim Kardashian.
Oh, if Kim came in, I'd be like, everybody clean everything, like, do everything so amazing. Do you need some champagne? I don't know. What do you need?
Can I breathe air for you?
I know.
Like, yes.
But that's how we need to treat every single client, every single one of them.
Everyone. Yeah. Now, It's funny, we not talk too much about social media, but we'll get back to it. Let's No, we can talk about anything, it seems like. One thing I was thinking, just like, what would be something interesting? Obviously, you watch and observe other people. What are some things that you go, or just like big no, or icks, as they would say? What are some of the icks you see in the industry where people are like, stop doing this with your social media, it's not helping you?
Oh, goodness. No comment.
And if you're doing this, we still love you, by the way. This is not, you know, throw shade on anyone.
Well, do you mean more of like working lash artists?
Yeah, working lash. Yeah, what? Yeah, more importantly, lash artists. What are they doing wrong? Were you like, if you just change this or maybe you saw this?
Okay, so with social media, so when you make a reel, guys, when you make a reel, it is incredibly easy, especially if you're doing like some type of meme reel and your voice has to match up to the words. Don't just leave it. Don't just not have it match up. It is so easy to match it up. And I'm going to give you a tip on how to do this is literally record yourself on the Instagram app, record, put the timer on 3, 2, 1, say the words, but say them out loud. And then when you go to edit it, you'll notice that you're able to do, you're able to take the video and make it shorter or longer and make sure that you slide it over until you can see your mouth move and it will match up automatically with the audio. So that way it is on point when you post it, because it is so cringe to me when people don't do that. I'm like, don't post this video. It looks horrible. That's the only thing I see that people do. I'm like, oh, don't do that.
So it's not just sliding the audio around. It's actually slowing down.
Or like cutting the video to the part of where your mouth starts moving so it matches up with the audio, because that is how it's going to look seamless. Because a lot of people are always like, you're so good at it. You're so good at lip syncing. No, I'm just really good at the editing part.
Yeah, you can fix everything in editing.
You can fix everything in editing, yes.
Yeah, man, that's been true in film for a long time. So
I'm always funny, like especially like the Hong Kong movies when we were kids. Yeah. Like, not Jackie Chan.
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee would be like saying stuff and then it was because they were all dubbed, you know, and it's so bad. It became like a joke, right?
Yeah. We used, back in the 80s, we would make these.
We'd be like,
kung fu movies. And then we would have us moving like we were talking Chinese.
Oh my gosh.
And then
gosh.
We would redub it with English over and it would be horrible.
That's so fun. Of that.
Yeah. So. Okay, well, that's good. I think for those people out there who are doing that, I think an easy fix. Yes. And
I'm actually going to be hosting a little webinar with the ALA.
Okay.
I'm going to teach how to show up on social media.
Oh, cool.
And I'm going to teach him a little tips and tricks. So if you want to learn how I do that with visuals.
Yeah.
Okay, so
when is it? When's that coming up?
That is in April. I think that's April 11th, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So that's for members of the ALA, and all of you guys should be members. It's very, very affordable, and it is about supporting the lash industry and being part of a greater community.
If you use LashCast 25, I think it's $63 a year.
Thank you to our sponsors. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Sponsor us.
Yes. So it's super affordable.
Yeah,
really.
Do webinars and...
like $5 a month.
And Paul and I are council members. And
oh, yeah.
We go in there, we kick things and yell at Christina.
Definitely.
No, are you kidding? She's a miracle maker.
No, actually, Christina's the one now killing me and telling me what to do.
That's okay. We all need her. We need somebody like Christina.
Christina is amazing. Yeah. So
she's like the Kris Jenner of our community.
She is the man.
I always say, you know, Kris Jenner works hard, but Christina Fard works harder.
Yeah. She's great.
That is so true.
Yeah. No, she's cool. Let's see. Other social media. Well, I'm looking at time. I didn't realize... it's been 45 minutes.
It's gone by so fast.
Yeah, it's flown. We probably should wrap it up. But we will have to obviously have you back because Val's going to be coming down every once in a while.
Val's going to come down. I'm going to do her eyelashes.
Well, you guys are good because I definitely need my lashes on, especially before LashCon.
Yes.
Oh, for sure. We'll do that before then.
It'll be a sin if I don't have lashes on for LashCon.
Yeah. Oh, no.
In fact, no one should be allowed into LashCon if you have no lashes.
I know, right?
You know what? I have to give grace because there were times when we were working so hard, I didn't have time to like do my nails.
I get that.
No.
And I always want to give a reward to the girls who show up with out their nails done because I know that they've been going crazy to get
crazy.
There.
That's nuts. Yeah.
And I know a lot of people sacrifice to go LashCon. I just had another girl reach out to me and says, I just can't make it because of financial problems. And it's always heartbreaking because I know they really want to go. And it's a big commitment. It's not just like $200 and
then maybe they can qualify for a volunteer.
Volunteer,
program.
Yeah. No.
Yes, that's it actually is a really cool opportunity to be able to work alongside you guys.
Yeah. No, we have that going and I think we're getting close, but we always use a few more. So yeah, we'll just put it out there. If you want to apply, at least you just email me and I'll connect you with Amber, who I just talked to today, and she's going to start actually rolling out.
Now, Amber is a gem.
Yeah. Our whole team is flipping insanely talented.
Yes.
Flipping amazing.
They are flipping amazing. No, we're very blessed. We're blessed. So anyhow, where can people find you other than helping us now, but what's your socials and all that?
You can find me on Instagram as BeautyGalVal. I also have a website called BeautyGalVal.co. You can inquiry for all of my trainings there if you would like. If you have any questions about social media or anything like that, I do offer mentorships for an hour. If you just want to ask me questions and I can help you create a plan, I could totally do that for you. But you can find me on Instagram. That's mainly where I'm at. Anywhere else scares me. So that's where I am. That's my home.
That's your home.
Yeah. But if you have any questions about anything, you can message me. I am an open book. You can always ask me any questions and I do my best to answer all of you guys.
You are so awesome. Special.
Oh, thank you. Right. You guys are special to me too. Well,
thanks for being on our program.
Thank you
today.
For having me.
Hey guys, that's a wrap. We are done. We are out of here. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Please follow us on Instagram at LashCast and at The Lash Conference. And remember to subscribe, share, and review. On behalf of my lash model, Tustany, as well as our special guest, Val, I want to thank you for taking some time to listen. Keep on lashing. And remember, you have a friend in the lash industry.